From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on Election Day last month. Did you vote? In odd-numbered years, turnout is always a lot lower. There's not a presidential contest. There are not congressional elections. We can talk all day about the importance of local elections, and to be fair, we really do on this program. We spend a lot of time on the impact of local voting and local issues. The truth is, not a whole lot of people go out and vote in odd-numbered years. So how should we respond to that fact? One option is just to shrug our shoulders and say, well, you cannot make people vote. If only 30% of the population decides to vote on local elections, then they are going to have the decision-making power. It's the old cliche about you can lead a horse to water. Well, the second school of thought is that there has to be a much more intense effort to get out the vote. That involves education, outreach on different media platforms, maybe different policies, probably spending more money as well. But here's a third way. What if we didn't have local elections in odd-numbered years anymore? What if we voted for the county executive and the county legislature or other local races, town, city races, in even-numbered years, when turnout is always a lot higher? What if we turn those races over to the same voters who decide congressional and presidential elections? There is a proposal to do essentially that. Before we get into what I hope will be a healthy debate and discussion this hour, I want to listen to a report filed this week by our colleague Karen DeWitt. She sets the scene for us and gives us a chance to understand the different arguments at play here. Let's listen.
Senate sponsor James Skoufis says the bill would increase voter turnout and save money because it would consolidate many local elections normally held in odd-numbered years and that generate low voter turnout into even years. That's when statewide races, including for governor and presidential races, are held. He says the recently held local elections earlier in November are an example.
You have 20-30% of the electorate making decisions for the entire community. And, you know, it's not as if the rest of the community, the balance of the community, is not interested in generally voting, because in those very same municipalities, you have in some cases 70-80% of people who turn out in some of the even numbered cycles. And so it's really a matter of trying to leverage that already high turnout in the even years and get more people the opportunity to weigh in on who's running their local town and who's running their local county.
Senator Skoufis held a news conference attended by government reform advocates, including Susan Lerner of Common Cause. Lerner says the state holds so many elections on various dates throughout the year, including village elections in March, school budgets in May, as well as June primaries, that voters can become confused and weary.
There's a concept called voter fatigue, and unfortunately, we are fatiguing our voters.
Opponents include some Republicans, including North Country Congresswoman Elise Stefanik and the New York Association of Counties. They say if local races are held when high-profile contests for governor and president are run, then local candidates' voices could get lost in the mix. Skoufis and other supporters argue that the higher turnout in the even years will give more attention to local candidates for office. Governor Hochul has not yet said whether she will sign the measure. A spokesman would only say that the governor is reviewing the legislation. But in June, Hochul was asked about the measure, and she said that she agreed with the concept.
Yes, if you're talking about turnout, I would say having the year when there's more people turning out for either a presidential or a gubernatorial race, it increases turnout, and more people voting in these elections is always better for democracy. But I've not had a chance to look at the details.
The bill does not include all local elections. Some, like county sheriff, district attorney, and city elections, are required by the New York State Constitution to be held in odd-numbered years. Senator Skoufis says if the measure becomes law, he's already drafted a constitutional amendment. It would allow the rest of the races to also be held in even-numbered years. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
We appreciate Karen's reporting there. That sets the stage. Let me welcome our guests. Perry Grossman is a supervising attorney and director of the Voter Rights Project at the NYCLU, the New York Civil Liberties Union. Perry, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Evan. Good to be here.
Mark Cassini is, of course, a local business executive, the former Gatestown supervisor, former candidate for both U.S. Congress and Monroe County Executive. Mark, welcome back to the program. Nice to have you.
My pleasure to be here.
Perry, let me start by asking you what the Voter Rights Project is, what the mission is at the NYCLU.
Sure. So the Voting Rights Project of the New York Civil Liberties Union is designed to make our elections fair and representative, to make sure that we have a robust and healthy democracy in New York State, that eligible voters are able to cast a ballot and have that ballot counted in accordance with the New York State and federal constitutions.
Well, we just had the odd numbered year elections. And, you know, true to form, we had, you know, roughly a 30% turnout, give or take. The city of Rochester turned out at about 17%. We saw some suburbs in the mid-30s. And that's what tends to happen. And so let me start by asking you, Perry, is this a problem that needs a solution, or are we creating a problem or creating a solution for a problem that doesn't exist here? How do you define it?
Sure. There's a very, very serious problem here. Elections in which 30% of the vote are not 30% of the population vote are not healthy. And we know that there's a lot of voter interest in New York State. We know that in presidential election years, we see turnout in the 70%+ range. Even in midterm years, gubernatorial election years, we see substantially higher turnout. Having a 30% drop off in turnout between even and odd numbered years or more is simply not good. And it is excluding disproportionately younger voters, voters of color, low income voters who can't bear the cost and don't necessarily have the access to the information that is going to get them out to the polls every 6 months or more often, because as Susan mentioned in her remarks, we of course have other elections taking place at other times of the year as well. So consolidating and aligning elections to improve voter turnout is good for the voters, it's good for the taxpayers, and it's going to help make our democracy a more equitable and inclusive one.
Okay, before I turn to Mark Cassini, let me just follow up on one point here, Perry, and there's a lot of different prongs to get to this hour. But when you say that voters and certain voters may not have access to information about elections or about I suppose maybe about candidates, I just want you to elaborate a little bit more. I mean, we are living in the age of the most access to information in human history. So I want you to elaborate and make sure people understand your point there.
Sure. So in presidential election years, even in gubernatorial election years, voters receive a large quantity of information. Campaigns are reaching out. Newspapers are doing stories, radio programs are doing stories. People are attuned to their political needs at that given moment. That drops off considerably in odd numbered years, where the amount of outreach to voters is much lower and the quality of outreach is much lower. So by concentrating elections in those higher information environments, you are making it easier for voters to get information about the candidates and the issues, as well as the important sort of election administration issues of where do I vote and when do I vote. So using those high information environments is going to make for more informed voters on local issues as well as those national issues. The idea that somehow local issues are going to be crowded out if they're in even numbered years is a canard. If anything, we're finally going to see attention on local issues when the electorate is at its largest and most attentive.
All right, Mark Cassini, some opening thoughts from you. What do you make of this proposal?
Well, I agree with Perry. We need to increase turnout. The question is, how do you do it and serve the voters best? That's really the question. Perry's suggesting the way to do that is to, you know, bring local elections into even years. And I'm an old dude, Perry, so forgive me for saying this, but there was a cartoon, and you can tell what I did with my life, called Peabody and Sherman. And they used to have a Wayback Machine. And if you use their Wayback Machine, you go back in time. Let's go back in time and do exactly what you're asking and put in place local elections in even years. What would 2024 look like? You'd have the president, U.S. Senate, the House, the New York State Supreme Court, Family Court, the New York State Senate, New York State Assembly, District Attorney, Monroe County Executive, Monroe County Clerk, Monroe County Legislature, Town Supervisor, Town Board, Town Justice, Highway Superintendent, and Town Clerk. Would you get more people turning out in those elections? Yes. Is it fair to the voters? Think about all the political ads, the mailers, the issues, trying to sort through a litany of issues from the local to the national level, candidates going door to door trying to explain people positions that they're running on. I mean, that has got to be the definition of confusion. Would you get greater turnout? Probably. But are we serving the voters' interest by making this whole process more confusing and forcing them to decide among just the list that I have, and I'm not even getting into the school boards, with candidates, this is not just, the the race itself. It's with the candidates, there's 40 people to choose from, and that doesn't even look at referendums. That's a lot to ask of a voter to wade through in such a lengthy and diverse political cycle.
So let me start with the prong that Mark is bringing up. What happens if we do this, and does it overwhelm the local elections? Perry called it a canard that could happen. And I have to say, listeners like to try to figure out, like, well, Evan, I could tell what side you're on here. I hadn't even thought about this issue until Karen DeWitt's report this week. And then I thought, boy, that's really interesting. 30% is abysmal in terms of turnout, and maybe we should just move it. And then I started to think about the possible concerns that people like Mark are raising. So I don't really know where I land yet. I haven't spent a whole lot of time thinking about it. But I have to say, Perry, that Mark's contention, when you look at that list he just put out there, I don't know how it's a canard to be concerned that those local races would be sort of subsumed by all the noise, all the attention that a presidential race or even a midterm congressional election would bring. And that's a lot to ask of a voter on one ballot, isn't it?
So on the one hand, it is a lot to ask of a voter on one ballot. On the other hand, if you look at turnout in odd number of years, you said 17% for the city of Rochester and for the county as a whole, I think in the high 20s, low 30s, right? Nobody is turning out to vote now in those local elections. So even if voters are receiving more information from candidates, are looking at more elections on the ballot, a large quantity of voters, a much, much larger quantity of voters, are going to be paying attention generally. Will some of those voters not necessarily vote for every single election on the ballot or understand every single issue in play? Of course. But we're going to have a much larger electorate paying attention to many more things. So ultimately, we're going to see more voters in an informed way voting for more offices than they are now. The delta between, the difference between what we are seeing in terms of attention to local offices and local issues in odd number of years and the possibility of introducing an electorate that could be easily 3-4 times as large in even numbered years more than makes up for the number of issues on the ballot or the number of informational contacts they're going to receive. I would also suggest that the number of informational contacts that voters are receiving, whether it's door knocks, mailers, and certainly I get the flood of mailers and door knocks like everybody else, but people are attuned in that moment to what the politics of the day look like. So I think at that moment, they're actually better equipped to deal with a multiplicity of issues and a multiplicity of candidates when you're consolidating things in even years as opposed to those odd numbered years. But I do take Mark's recommendation for cartoons extremely seriously. I'll have to go look at Peabody and Sherman.
Perry, let me just follow up on one point before I kick it back to Mark here. Do you think that one of the results, if this proposal goes through and we had even numbered election years with a much longer list for voters to consider, do you think one of the results would be an even larger percentage of voters who are simply just voting down a party line, as opposed to splitting tickets or maybe voting one side here, another, because they might just say, look, I didn't have time to sort of pay a whole lot of attention to the New York State Assembly race or the town justice race or the town supervisor race. I'm going down the ticket because my attention's been elsewhere. Is that any concern of yours?
It's not a particularly large concern of mine because right now voters are already voting for high and low profile offices together, right? So the likelihood that voters are going to have different levels of information about the president and all of the candidates for Supreme Court justice or all the candidates for assembly on the ballot, even now, you're going to have differences in information acquisition that take place there. So, on the one hand, voters do, of course, use partisan affiliation as a cue. On the other hand, if we see more of that campaigning from those different offices consolidating, voters, when they're really paying attention, are smart and are able to differentiate. So are we going to see more straight party ticket voting? I don't know that there's any indication that we will see more of that any more than that goes on now.
Mark Cassini, what do you think?
Well, again, I want to say, Perry, I agree with you 100%. We do need to increase voter turnout. The question is, what's the right way to do it? And I think about the logistics of this, and it's just a nightmare. Can you imagine the number of political ads you're going to see on TV just flooding the airwaves as people are trying to figure out, you know, and do research and take care of their families, excuse me, and do their jobs and, you know, just do the normal day-to-day stuff that folks are trying to get through and then try to get through this incredible litany of candidates with all these political ads and mailers. It's just, it is, you're not wrong. We do need to increase turnout, and it's not good the way it's working right now. But this is just going to, I guarantee you, it's going to overwhelm people. That's the way I feel, anyways.
Okay, and so on the subject of just take advertising, Mark, you talk about when voters are already feeling overwhelmed with the amount of political mail, and that probably is something voters would say in a year like 2023. They almost certainly would say it in, you know, the even numbered years. Here is a concern raised by a listener named Paul in Webster. He says, how much did the Assini and Bello campaigns have to spend for campaign commercial airtime? Can you imagine what their costs would be if they were competing for ad slots with all the federal elections? And if New York was ever a toss-up state for a presidential election in the future, then the local candidates would barely be able to get a word in through any of the media. I think the risks of consolidation outweigh the benefits. That's Paul in Webster. Mark Assini, what do you make of that?
No, I think Paul's exactly right.
Simple as that.
Yep.
I mean, so when the campaign that you just came off of, you know, I mean, every campaign tries to raise money. You got to try to get on the airwaves, get in a lot of different places. You think it would be less feasible for campaigns that aren't really, really kind of flush with cash because of those scenarios that Paul posed?
Absolutely. 100%. There's no question about it. You're going to be competing with airwaves, with all these different candidates that I just listed, that litany of candidates. It's almost going to be impossible to break through, and it's going to be very expensive. And as I said, people are going to be, they're just going to be overwhelmed. They really are. Again, that's my humble opinion. I've been in politics a long time. We think people pay very close attention to the issues. I assure you, voter is smart. Voters are, you know, focused on their own lives. That's the nicest way to put it. And to try to push all this through in one election cycle, you're just going to overwhelm people. And it's not fair to them. It really isn't. They will not be able to give the attention. They won't have the time, and they won't be able to give the attention that's necessary to the candidates that are running.
One other point for Mark, and then I'll kick it back to Perry, because I want to hear what Perry thinks of Paul and Webster's email. But, Mark, on the subject of voter fatigue, you heard in Karen DeWitt's reporting, Susan Lerner brought this up. You know, when you raise the concern, Mark, that voters are concerned about their own lives and that they're already very busy, Susan Lerner agreed, and she said, look at next year. You're going to have a presidential primary. You could have other primaries. Then you'll have a general election. You could have voters in some years asked to go vote not on one day, but three or four different days. And that engenders the kind of fatigue that turns people off to politics. Whereas if you just consolidated and said, look, we're not going to overwhelm you. It's going to be every other year. Here's where it's going to be. Then maybe people get in more of a rhythm with it. What do you think, Mark?
And that's exactly right. But I do not want to diminish Perry's point. We've got to find a way to increase turnout. Everything he said was accurate. I just don't agree that putting it all in one even year is the right way to do it. And that's no disrespect, Perry, to your point. I think you're 100% right. The question is, how do we do this and do it effectively for the voters as well as the candidates, in fairness to the candidates?
No, I'm with you, Mark. Like when I was listening to Karen's reporting this week and then having conversations behind the scenes with folks, every point that's been raised, I pretty much agree with. I mean, like, it's very strange here to feel like everyone is kind of right and I don't know the best way to do this. Other than to say, you know, everyone recognizes that 30% or 17% or 28%, that's not a good enough turnout. I'm going to get listener feedback in a moment here. Perry, when Paul and Webster writes in to say, if you do this, you are really making it harder for local candidates to buy ad time, to be heard, to break through. What do you say to that, Perry?
Sure. So a couple of things. First of all, I want to say I really do appreciate that Mark and I absolutely agree on the need to increase turnout, right? That's important. We need a robust, healthy democracy where you've got voters of all groups in large numbers turning out to hold elected official accountable and make their voices heard at the polls. In terms of TV time, I would not focus on that quite so much because TV time is expensive and it's also not necessarily the best way to reach voters. But let's look at the difference in turnout, for example, in Monroe County between presidential, gubernatorial, and an odd number of years. In 2020, Monroe County turnout was close to 80%. Even in 2022, gubernatorial election, it was about 57, 58%. And then in 2019, it's at or below 40%. This is a gigantic drop-off we're looking at. In 2021, 30%. That's the county as a whole, not even just looking at the city. And so we're losing so many voters, right? And those voters that are turning out in odd-numbered years, we know that they are older, they are whiter, and they are more affluent. We are reaching the highest propensity voters, the voters who are most able to get to the polls, who can most afford the cost and the stamina of so many elections by showing up. And so by having elections consolidated in even-numbered years, politicians can speak to a larger electorate, a more diverse electorate, and they can use more tools at their disposal. TV time, whether it's an even-numbered years or odd-numbered years, is going to be expensive. But there are so many better ways and more cost-effective ways to reach voters, whether it's door-knocking, other forms of organizing, mail, text, phone, et cetera, et cetera. There are so many different ways. I would simply not get bogged down in the cost of TV time, which is always going to be a really expensive measure, but not necessarily a cost-effective one.
Mark, you did a lot of door-to-door yourself. What do you make of the point there from Perry?
I wish you were right, Perry. I would have won. I did a lot of door-to-door. I hit nearly 14,000 homes. What I would say to you is this. Political ads are important. They do send a message. People do watch them. And yes, you can do it via text, YouTube. TV now is streaming more than anything else, unfortunately. Guys like me that remember when there were only four channels and UHF was one of them. That's not the case anymore. You're streaming. But the political ads on TV, on streaming, those mailers, those text messages, those are important. But it's going to be tough to break through. I am telling you, it's going to be tough to break through to people because they turn off after a while. You know, people get upset sometimes when you send out too many mailers. We've had a number of occasions, and I've run as a town supervisor in a local on a local level for several election cycles, and people get angry. They just turn it off. They never read what your mailer is anymore because they get sick of them. You mail out five, six, the other side's mailing out five or six, and then you got other candidates mailing out a couple, and then before you know it, you're getting 20 or 30 mailers, and they're just going in the garbage. And if you do all these candidates at the same time, it's going to be tough to break through to the voters. As I said, they're busy with their own lives. They're busy working. They're busy taking care of their children or going to school or any of a number of things. And there's only just so much time. And you just, if you put all this in an even year, it's just going to be that much tougher to really break through to voters. But to your point, I think you will get more people out in an even year just because that's the nature of a presidential race and in national races. But are you really serving the voter by putting so much on them to try to wade through all this, in this difficult environment we all live in?
We're talking to Mark Cassini, who is a local business executive, the former Gatestown supervisor. He's run a number of races, and he's been a winner in some of his races. He has not been as successful as he wanted in other races.
I'm glad you put that in there, Evan. Thank you. I have been a winner in some
You
of
have been race. A winner, Mr. Cassini. Mark has run for Congress. He's run for county executive. He's been the Gatestown supervisor. Lots of experience with the local elections. Perry Grossman.
County legislator.
Thank you. County legislator. Perry Grossman, supervising attorney and director of the Voter Rights Project at the New York Civil Liberties Union, is with us. Listeners, I've got some kind of heated emails from some folks, and I'll read those in a moment. And if you want to share your voice on the program. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester, 263-9994. Again, connections at WXXI.org is the email. And what we're talking about is a proposal that would move most, potentially all local elections to even-numbered years to increase turnout. We just got done with a legislative election year, county executive, some local races, supervisors, mayor races, and we saw around 30% turnout typically. And that's much lower than in the congressional midterms and the presidential years. And this proposal says, hey, let's move it so you get more people voting. The naysayers are saying that's a great way to make people tune out of the local elections, even if they're marking a ballot. They're not going to be as focused because there's too much going on. And so this is kind of the debate that people are having. And I'll start with an email from Charles who says, Evan, if you're not smart enough to realize that local elections are a thing and they arguably have a larger effect on day-to-day life than state or federal elections, you're probably not the kind of person I want voting in the first place. All you're going to do is devalue my vote. With that in mind, this is a bad idea. That is from Charles. Perry Grossman, what do you say to Charles?
So what I'd say to Charles is there's no question that local elections are important, right? Local offices and local officials really have a tremendous effect over the primary services that people use in their day-to-day lives, whether it's public safety, parks, libraries, transportation, taxation. And so it is unconscionable to have an electorate that is simply 30% of the population when it could easily be 80% of the population. My concern actually is not so much that local issues are going to be subsumed if you move them to even numbered years, but local issues will finally take some predominance when they're in front of a larger electorate because people do care so much about those issues. And so the question is not, are people not getting to the polls because they don't care? It's simply because when you have more elections, you really raise the cost of voting in a lot of different ways. And so by consolidating elections, you make it easier for people to vote when they are getting the most information that is available to them, when their political acumen is going to be at their highest, when they know the most about when and where to vote. And so, you know, I agree with Charles that local elections are really important and they deserve the largest and most diverse possible electorate that they can.
Okay, Mark Cassini, what would you say to Charles?
Well, I don't want to keep repeating the same thing over and over again. The bottom line is that this is just too much to put on voters in a single year. That's why you break up these elections, because he's 100% correct. Things are going to get lost. Local issues are going to get lost. And when I say they get lost, people are not going to be able to, there's no way, in all fairness, voters are smart, but that's too much to put on them. They're not going to be able to wade through all these races, these literally, let's see, what do I have here, 40 people on the ballot and try to figure out exactly what the best way to vote is and what the issues are that are important, what issues aren't important. It's just too much. It's just way too much for somebody, especially when they're trying to live their lives. It's just way too much. Charles is right.
On the phone, Rich from Rochester. Hi, Rich. Go ahead.
Hey, Evan. How are you doing today?
Good, sir.
I'm doing good. I have to disagree with the one who says that Cassini, who says that the voters can't handle it. It's like any other ritual. If we know that we're voting every 2 years, we have a mindset. When you have that mindset, you look at everything. On 2019, if there's one person running, and I'm not voting. I don't care what they are. I don't care if they're the ones who have all my attention. The most important thing is to have the voters' attention almost ritualistically. And every 2 years or every 4 years, like a presidency, you get a mindset. And also, voters vote by category, i.e. progressive, Democratic, conservative, Republican. You are going to get them voting their block of votes regardless. So you do want the votes out there. And I think you're underestimating the voter by saying it's too much on them. It's not too much on them. It's a ritual. This is what it's just like going, oh, wow, we're going to do every 2 years. We're going to vote. And you get a mindset.
So, Rich, let me ask you a question before I let our guests respond. When you say, you're underestimating the voter, that the voter would have the mindset of doing it here. Does it also underestimate voters if we think they're not going to be able to vote every year in some election of some kind?
No, because it's like having your favorite ice cream cone every week. After a while, it doesn't taste as good. You want it to be a ritual. You want it to be something special. So every 2 years, we have this special thing. If I have an election every year, and then you have the special, like, example, special elections. Humans are creatures of habit. By doing that every 2 year thing, it becomes a ritual and it is important.
Okay. Rich, thank you. I'll start with Mark Cassini because he is disagreeing mostly with your position there. Are you underestimating the voters, Mark?
No, the voters are smart, but it's not fair to the voters to put that much on them. As I said, you had just next year, if we did what we wanted to do in even years, you got 40 different candidates. That doesn't even include referendums. And I even included school boards. You got to wade through all that and do an effective job while you're trying to hold your work down, your life down, raise the kids and everything. That's too much for people. It really isn't. And I would say we already have a pattern. We have this voting pattern that has been like this for X number of years. I don't know why people don't come out in the local years. You know, it could be maybe they're satisfied, you know, and that's a statement too. They're voting by saying, I'm not worried about it. I'm good. I'm good with the candidates that are running, and I'm not worried about, my local governments.
Perry Grossman, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that there's a 40-point difference in turnout between 2019 and 2020 in Monroe County because the voters of Monroe County are dumb in even years, or sorry, dumb in odd years and smart in even years. I think there is a real structural problem to having elections in odd years. Voting is a habit, that's for sure. But of course, as Susan Lerner mentioned in the quote you had on the top of the hour, voter fatigue is a real live thing. Mark mentioned school board elections. School board elections are actually outside of some of the few city school districts where elections are consolidated. School board elections mostly take place on the third Tuesday in May every single year. And school board election turnout is abysmal. It is frequently under 10%, in some places under 5%. And so, I think that those elections are maybe a really good illustration of how having elections in off-cycle ways at odd times really does affect voter turnout, because New Yorkers definitely care about public education. Now, those local issues are important, and what local elected officials do is really important. And by the way, Mark, thank you for your service as a local elected official. It's no small thing to run for office, and it takes a lot of civic courage to be involved. But I want to emphasize that, voters do care a lot. I think voters are pretty smart. I think they're capable of handling a lot of information. And I don't think the drop off in satisfaction, a 40-point drop off in satisfaction between 2 years, is indicative of a very, very high level of voter satisfaction. Because surely we know we're seeing, hotly contested races for county executive, around the state for county legislature. These are important offices where you have very serious differences of opinion. And, the voters should be engaged on that. But I think it is the structural nature of having elections so frequently that is turning them off, and not an apathy on the part of the voters for those important local issues.
I want to jump back to listeners in a second. I want to ask Mark Cassini one other question. Mark, when you went door to door in this year, in this election for county executive, how often when you spoke to people, did they not know there was an election this year?
They didn't even know who was running. So that's a fair question.
It was common?
It was not uncommon. No, it was not uncommon.
Okay. And so
I wouldn't say it was the majority, but there was a good percentage. I don't want to assign the specific.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know you'd be sort of guessing, but the point is it wasn't one out of every 100 houses.
No.
Okay. And does that move you in any direction? When Perry says, look, people, all people, especially people who, sort of aren't doing well economically, but people may not be getting the information they need, and that matters here. And is that an argument in favor of consolidation when you met people in literally in an election year you're running and they don't know who you are and they don't know what the race is?
It goes back to what I said earlier, the answer that Perry and others are suggesting is if you do it in even years during a national race, you'll get more people turning out. And I said from the beginning, I agree, you will. But unfortunately, what's going to happen is I'm not saying voters are dumb. I'm saying voters are being asked to absorb a lot in one cycle, and they're not going to be able to focus on all the issues locally, statewide, and nationally. And that's really the problem I have with it.
So here's CY emailing and saying, Evan, what if we simply said that for any local election, any office, there has to be a minimum percentage of voter turnout for that race to be valid, say 51%. If less than the minimum percentage turns out, then the positions would either be filled by those already in them or the next in line of authority for instances of attrition. That is from CY. Mark, that's a pretty dramatic proposal. What do you think?
No. 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 No.
You want to explain why you think that's not a good idea?
Obviously, we want people to be elected and not, just appointed through some, obscure process that I'm not even sure how we would do it. You want people elected. You want people elected by the people of the community. You want them to have a voice in who's leading them, and elections do that. But again, there is a responsibility on the citizen to show up for elections. There is a responsibility if you really are concerned about your town supervisor, your county legislator, your county clerk, you should be showing up at the election. If you're saying we're just going to throw them all in one even year and they'll show up, but they may just be voting on presidential and national issues and just kind of hitting the button on the rest.
So, Perry, it sounds like you agree that CY's proposal, I think, well-intended, but doesn't sound like you think that's the solution.
Yeah, I appreciate CY's creative approach, but I agree with Mark that you want to have elections. You want to have people up there who have been selected by the voters. And, if people don't turn out, that's, that's unfortunate. But at the same time, a democratic process needs to put people in those positions of power. But I will say that I think it's so, I take Mark's run for county executive, and I will be candid, I don't know a whole lot about that particular race, but presumably Mark
ran
for
county. Many people did, so that's okay.
I assume, for the same reason Mark is here today, that he ran for county executive because he feels very strongly about a lot of issues, and he thinks that a lot of Monroe County voters do too. And I tend to think that he's right, that a lot of Monroe County voters do care about this stuff. And the fact that a lot of people aren't turning out for that race is not a matter of apathy. It is not a matter of people not wanting to do their civic duty. It is simply a structural problem that we can solve by allowing county executive candidates to campaign to a larger electorate, where I think they're going to find really fertile ground for people who do care so much about all those critical services that counties provide. I think that counties do a real disservice by having these very low turnout elections. I think this is going to be a real benefit for county government to have elections in even years when there are large, diverse electorates with the opportunity to pay attention to local issues in a very serious way for the first time in a long time.
All right. A lot of feedback coming in here. Robert says, you want more people to vote? Move the elections to a Saturday if you want turnout. Perry Grossman, move the elections from Tuesdays to Saturdays. What do you think?
Well, so I think the issue with voting is not so much what day election day is, so much as you give people enough opportunities to vote, right? And so, since 2019, we have early voting in New York State, which I think is great. So, have a 10-day period in which you're able to go to the polls and cast a ballot. We've had more expanded access to voting by mail. So we really just want to provide voters with as many opportunities to have their ballot cast as possible, to have their voice heard. And so, you know, I appreciate the sentiment by trying to make it easier for some folks to vote by having on the Saturdays. But remember, when you do things like put voting on the Saturdays, you know, the onus becomes, what about the people who work on Saturdays? And so you just want to make sure that you give people, regardless of their work schedule, regardless of their family obligations and all kinds of other things, as many opportunities to vote as possible. But I really do appreciate everybody's creative suggestions to try and make our elections more inclusive.
Mark Assini, vote on Saturday instead of Tuesday?
We already have early voting, so you could vote in any of a number of days. So, and that hasn't, it's been a little helpful, but hasn't really driven voter turnout. So Saturdays, doing it on a Saturday won't really make a difference. Early voting has already proved that.
All right, Andrew and Irondequoit on the phone next. Hi, Andrew, go ahead.
Isn't this whole thing like a power grab by the Democrats? I mean, people, Mark, aren't going to be focusing on anything. They're just going to go in and vote for Joe Biden, and then they're just going to press D all the way down the line. So all your little local elections are all going to go Democrat.
Yeah, so before I let the guest respond to that, Andrew, I will say that in trying to get up to speed on, you know, where people are on this, this doesn't look like a neat and clean party line situation issue. I don't think. I could be wrong, but in what I don't want to do is speak on the record about conversations I've had off the record in the last 48 hours with people who work in local politics. I haven't found local political leaders of either major party who support this proposal as yet. Perry could correct me if I'm wrong in a moment, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not seeing an endorsement from either party chair. Patrick Riley, the Republican Party chair locally, is not in favor of moving a local elections to even-numbered years. Stephen DeVay is the chair of the Democrats. There's no indication that he supports this. But again, I'd want to have that conversation at length. That said, I don't know offhand. So, Perry, does this look like a party line issue to you, Perry Grossman?
No, I think it's actually an issue of, unfortunately, incumbent elected officials against voters. Right? Voters have more control, have more power when they turn out in more numbers, when there is a larger and more diverse electorate. Incumbent elected officials benefit when there is a smaller, narrower set of likely voters that they can take advantage of. Is this a power grab? If anything, it's allocating power back to the voters and away from elected officials by focusing on the size and quantity of the electorate. And so I think that makes a real difference. And the fact is, in terms of New York State, when we're talking about local elections, only local voters are voting in local elections. Most counties in New York State, just, you know, by sheer number of counties, are not Democratic counties. And so there are going to be plenty of places where the Republican nominee for president is getting a large number of votes, and that may bolster local elected officials down the line. It's also possible that local officials are actually bolstering turnout up the ballot because people do care so much about local issues and local races. So to me, this is not a partisan issue at all. This is an issue about empowering the voters and expanding the electorate to make sure that our elected officials, when they're put into office, are done by a large, robust democratic process, as opposed to the small electorates that are currently turning out in odd year elections.
Interesting. Mark Assini, do you see this as a partisan issue?
I think it depends on the state. In New York, this would definitely help the Democrat Party. There's no question about it, because they simply have more voters. But that's not really why I'm opposed to it. It's you're nationalizing local races. You're going to be talking about there's no way you're going to be able to discern you know, national issues from local issues. That's going to be part of the problem. And you know, it takes away the focus from local issues, and they deserve debate and consideration. You know, we shouldn't be you know, a town supervisor shouldn't have to worry about what the position is on abortion, you know, by their state or federal representative when they're worried about paving streets. I mean, and I know that's a little bit of an extreme example, but that's the point, is this does nationalize the elections a bit, and you can't get away from it. It's just it's part of the process, and in making it all in an even year, when you start putting national and state races and all of them in the same bucket as local races.
Andrew, thanks for the call. Let's get Walter in Caledonia next. Hi, Walter, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I wonder if we could, either of the panelists are willing to take Rich's idea, a caller earlier, about emphasizing the ritualistic effect. By having the local election in even-numbered years, but let's add automatic mail-in voting for everybody, so everybody automatically gets a ballot and has a week or two to think about it, and make part of the ritual that Election Day is a holiday, state or federal, so that people, again, have time to digest what's coming at them and make a thoughtful decision up and down the ballot.
Walter, thank you. I'll start with Mark. Yeah, I'll start with Mark Cassini on that one. What do you think, Mark?
Well, as a businessman, I would just simply say, you know, one more holiday in the state of New York for a business to pay for their employees is not something that's going to go over big here. I don't disagree with his position. I think there are other ways to accomplish ritualizing voting. I don't think we've done an effective job in communicating to the public. When I'm going door to door in a year when the county executive and the county legislature are up and the town supervisors and the boards and the justices and the clerks and there are people that don't even know who's running, obviously, you know, we can do a better job. When I say we as a community do a better job in talking about the races, who's running, and as a public service announcement, I think that's probably important, too. I know if you're an incumbent, you don't want people talking about the race because, quite frankly, that doesn't serve your interest. But maybe that's not a bad idea, that the Board of Elections and others should communicate, have a public service announcement about elections coming up, who's running, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe that's a way to address it and ritualize it a little more, but not nationalizing local races. I just think that's okay. That's a recipe for disaster.
All right. Perry Grossman, supervising attorney and director of the Voter Rights Project at the New York Civil Liberties Union. A holiday for voting? What do you think?
So I'm going to reiterate what I said before. I think the most important thing, I absolutely appreciate the caller's suggestions to try and improve turnout. You know, the real key is not so much making Election Day a holiday as is to provide folks with as many opportunities as possible to vote. So expanding access to mail-in ballots, great idea. You know, early voting, great idea. I think adding a holiday, again, that tends to help some people, but not others, because, again, folks are going to have to end up working that holiday no matter what. But again, expanding opportunities to vote. But I want to get back to a second, this issue of nationalizing local races. It's entirely possible, and in fact, I think likely, that what we might see is actually local issues, important local issues, informing the way we think about federal elections. So if we're talking about how a town supervisor is going to address important questions of infrastructure, that may be an issue that trickles up to the federal candidates. What are you going to do about infrastructure to make sure my community is getting what it needs, right? These are critical issues that don't get talked about precisely because these local races are not on the ballot, these important local races. So hopefully, and I think likely, we will see those national elections come closer to home with the important issues, whether it's education funding, library funding, parks funding, infrastructure funding. Those could easily become more salient issues, those pocketbook issues, if we see elections moved to even numbered years.
Mark, 30 seconds if you want to respond to that one.
Keep repeating what I've said over and over.
That's okay. I hear you. And I just want to make sure everyone's got space to air this out. All right, last couple quick ones here. Gary writes to say, why not charge voters a small fee if they don't turn out to vote? It would be easy to do and it makes sense. We already are paying in our taxes the cost of having elections. It is not cheap. So if you're a registered voter and you don't show up, Gary wants to send you a small fee in the mail. Mark Cassini, what do you think?
No, so I could see that. Who would be the dude that would put that on a referendum or propose that in their community? Because that person would not get elected. But go ahead, Perry. You can.
What do you think, Perry?
The 24th Amendment to the United States Constitution prohibits poll taxes. So that's the end of the discussion.
Okay. And let's see. And lastly, Robin called in to say, instead of changing the voting years, the money saved from this should be used to print more information about the candidates to inform the voters. Mark Cassini?
I'm sorry, I apologize. You broke up on me. Say that again, please.
Robin called in to say that instead of changing the voting years, which Robin presumes would cost money, use whatever money you do that for that to print more information, spend more money printing information about candidates for voters, distribute it to voters so they can be better informed. What do you think, Mark?
I like that idea. I think that's a very good idea, to be honest with you. I think what's happened in our elections especially is that people who have the money, who are maybe in power and have all kinds of contributions coming in, will kind of stifle the other side, and people won't even know there's a competitive election. Yeah, let's get the information out. Let's inform voters. Who's running? The public service announcement are not a bad thing.
Perry, 30 seconds. What do you think?
Sure. I think more information is always a good idea. But at the same time, even with the most vigorous local campaigns, like I'm sure Mark's was, you're not going to approach the information environment and the turnout effect of moving things to even years. So you're not going to make up a 40-point difference with information alone. But I appreciate the suggestion.
Perry, in the last just 20 seconds as we're wrapping up here, I don't sense that this is an imminent, that this has the momentum to get over the finish line. 20 seconds, what do you want to leave with listeners as you look ahead on this issue?
Sure. I'd like listeners to know that we want large, diverse electorates electing our officials, and that's going to take place in even years.
Perry Grossman from NYCLU, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, Evan.
And Mark Cassini, appreciate your time as well. It's our first chance to talk to you on the air post-election, and I hope you'll keep coming back, sir. I always appreciate
it. Thank you, Evan. I'm grateful. Thank you. All the best.
That's Mark Cassini, who recently ran for Monroe County Executive. And Mark's voice, by the way, is pretty representative of a lot of the people in politics I've talked to locally. I'm not saying all, and we will see if there are changes going forward on that, but that's where this issue stands for now. Thanks for a lot of great feedback. More connections coming up.